Oh, okay.
We're on. We are here. What up, everybody? Coming at you, everybody. We're coming at you post Double or Nothing. We're a day late, not a dollar short, because we were trying to enjoy our Memorial Day. It's weird to have a pay-per-view on Memorial Day Sunday. Because you, Monday is like a holiday, right? So you're like, yo, we're doing things. But what I'm saying is, Tulo, that's what I'm saying is, with WWE never had like a Monday pay-per-view, right? They're not like about like the day before you go back to work. But I don't remember any WWE pay-per-views that were Memorial Day Sunday. Not that this is that interesting or important, but I am thinking that WWE has my entire life, has been the feeling of fuck, it's Sunday, which means when I wake up the next day, I gotta go to school or work. And WWE has always been that like, yeah, but Sunday's gonna be cool because it's a pay-per-view. It's always been like, oh, the day before I go, like, I love that feeling of I got, HBO dominated Sunday in a similar fashion,
Very true.
And they had that, like, let's, so I really hate wrestling pay-per-views when the next day is a non-work school day. Do you ever think about that?
Very interesting.
Because I rarely. I know I'm doing nothing the day before a work or school day night. And a lot of times I make plans not realizing there's a wrestling pay-per-view because I
Now I get
know the
where you're
next
going.
day I have off. Do you understand?
I will say
And
I
AEW is
remember.
not good at scheduling around the way I like to watch wrestling, which is on the night before a school night. I like wrestling pay-per-views on school nights.
Not gonna lie, I was in the pool and I was like, "Oh shit, what time is it?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "There's a fucking pay-per-view on tonight,"
It's
and I was like,
real.
"God,
Yeah.
I missed the first match. I still haven't seen Wardlow MJF. Was it good?"
It was good. I my watching of this pay-per-view was very odd because I was watching on my phone. I had a wedding. And so I had it going on a phone. And I was also invited to a, I was invited to a party for an AEW Double or Nothing. Mike Lawrence invited me to go watch Double or Nothing at his house, and I didn't get to
Nice.
go to that because it was a night of real plans. So, see what I'm saying here? I don't like this 3 day weekend. Then make the pay-per-view on Monday. You'll go head to head with Raw with the pay-per-view. Yo, what?
I would say, hold on, I'm swallowing this slice of pizza. I would say that if you're gonna do it on a holiday weekend, you better fucking go big. Like, that didn't feel special. I'm sorry.
Well, look,
That's my
this.
main gripe. It did not feel special.
Well, there was a lot of text coming in while I'm at this wedding. And I'll say this, I bumped into two AEW guys at this wedding. Okay.
Wow.
And not AEW wrestlers, just wrestling marks. One being Joey Clift and one being Phil DeCastella, and bumped into these guys and they, Joey Clift, I know, I don't remember what Phil said, but Joey Clift was like, oh, I'm leaving this wedding early so I can go catch, watch Double or Nothing on a TV.
That's wild. That's incredible.
I had it going on my phone a little bit that I was watching clips after. So I watched this like very hodgepodge. I might have missed a couple things, but ultimately the text messages that were coming in is people were very disappointed with this pay-per-view, was the vibe I was getting. By the way, this is a Comedians of Wrestling podcast, everybody. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. You know how we do it. We're here to talk about wrestling because we love it, man. It's a good time. What's there not to love about pro
We're
wrestling?
inching closer and closer to officially becoming the Comedians Podcast. So, let me tell you.
We're getting close to being the Comedians Podcast. I literally I'm itching to talk about some other stuff. But and we'll get there. But I would like to say this. I want to just jump right into
What were the texts that you were getting?
Oh, the texts I was getting were, all right, well, one text was from you. You were very disappointed in the Dynamite setup being used for Double or Nothing.
I couldn't believe it, man. I just honestly couldn't believe it. What's the strategy there? There was nothing unique about that pay-per-view at all, except for maybe the moving graphics. And like, listen, but this is a pay-per-view. People are tuning in. I paid $50 to watch this thing. And you're going to roll out a Dynamite set? I pay $80 and get floor seats to see a Dynamite set. $50 to sit on my ass at home and it's just like watching Dynamite or Rampage. It was just so disappointing. Like, very, very disappointing. Not even a fucking stack of chips. Like, they did cool things for like the entrances and stuff. I get it. We had Rancid, we had the douchebag from Fozzy playing in Britt Baker. Like, why I don't, like, you know, but I don't know. I don't know, man. Athena made her debut.
We're talking about a lot of thoughts about Athena. But we'll get into her. She's one of the worst wrestling talents. I'm not a fan. But I'm not a fan.
I will say she's a great wrestler.
Yeah.
Great wrestler.
Oh yeah, let's be clear. I'm just saying she's one of those people. Like, she was complaining doing this. She was complaining about WWE recently, and I have no problem with her complaints. They were like saying that she was in a meeting where WWE was like telling the women to be more sexy. You know?
Yeah.
And obviously, like, that's not that cool. You know? It should be more like, hey, if you want to, you know, like if they want to. Flaunt their sexuality. That's a choice you make for yourself, you know, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. You can make the argument it's TV and they're a publicly traded company and sex sells if you want. I don't even care about the argument. I'm not even like, I'm like, hey, if a woman wrestler doesn't want to dress sexy, that's like her, why would you make her do that? I don't understand that. But my problem is like these wrestlers who complain about WWE and then I'm like, you have just so much work to do as a wrestling talent, you know? But like, you're just a little bit like, it always, no matter what you're complaining about, I know in this case it's more of like a gender issue, so forget, can we just separate that? I'm saying like, when a guy like Moxley complains about how he's treated in WWE, and then he comes into WWE, into AEW, and then completely backs that up, that's where you want to be. Right? That's where you want to be. And I'm not even saying that she's doing that. I'm just saying, as I don't really know much about her, I'm just saying, like, even now she's Athena. She's cut some of the worst promos. When she was Ember Moon, it made no sense, and it seemed like she had no inkling towards making it make any sense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and also, and they didn't do her any favors with this debut. I mean, like, if she's going to be leaning still into that, at least let her do something different than just show up. It's got to be more than just show up, right? Like, at this point, you have to do more than just show up.
Yeah, it's just one of those talents that's very frustrating because it's like...
And I'm not just saying that for her. I'm saying that for a lot of these wrestlers.
A character. If she had anything that made any kind of sense, with her athleticism and her in-ring ability, she could do amazing stuff, you know? So it's like... I guess it's hard for me to see when someone – it's hard for me to see anybody in any capacity, like, complain when they have such – and I have so many other more examples of this. She's maybe not the best one, but you, like, complain when, truthfully, you just weren't doing great work, you know? Now, that's how I felt about Dean Ambrose. I was like when he was starting talking shit – I was saying this when you walked away for a sec too low, but I was saying, Dean Ambrose, I was saying when he walked away, I had a little bit of a feeling of, like – Yo, I had a little bit of feeling like, yo, Dean, you, oh my God, you're scared of shit of me. Dean, like, he, I'm like, yeah, but I was like, he kind of stinks. Like, you know, I was like, he's complaining about WWE. But then he came into AEW, you know, saying he completely backed it up. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, WWE was completely holding you back from your vision as a wrestler. Like, he's balls to the wall, hardcore. I watch him, like, I got mad respect for the man, Jon Moxley, you
Yeah,
know?
me too.
He opened his mouth and then just backed it up to such a high degree. So I worry about that for all these other wrestlers who like complain about WWE, and then I'm like, yeah, but like nothing you do makes sense ever. Like, you're gonna blame all that on WWE? Like all of it, you know? So
Yeah,
anyway,
it's
irrelevant. I mean, I've even questioned guys, and this is a great segue. I've questioned people the likes of Bret Hart and CM Punk at this point, even, you know? Like the originators of talking shit about WWE, you know, where I'm like, I've even thought about it a little bit where I'm like, man, like this Bret Hart's attitude has not aged well over the years, you know? And I watched Wrestling with Shadows when I was 15 and I was literally crying about how they fucked him over, you know? And now as I get older, I'm a little bit like, oh, he's such a stiff, you know? He's such a fucking stiff. And then CM Punk is like almost the same way where you're like, now you're like, I've told you over time, I remember I saw this clip of Triple H where he was like, you know, with CM Punk, the thing was that, like, he kind of kept to himself, you know, and a lot of the stuff he complains about are, like, kind of news to me. And I almost, like, believe CM Punk as Triple H at this point. I said that because I was like, if you put together the stuff, you're like, CM Punk. Then he turns, he has a falling out with Colt Cabana. That's weird. Literally, it's his best friend, and he called him out. He was like, hey, Colt, he waved at him during the pipe bomb, right? And he was like, even in when he was doing that shoot podcast, I mean, I'm going way back, CM Punk, I remember him saying stuff like, yeah, you know, I just put my head down. I just like, did the job. I wanted to do good. And I was like, sounds like he wasn't communicating. I was hearing a lot of non-communication. And then if the pipe bomb is a work, right, which people say it is, well, then they gave him this great gift because of his attitude. They wrote his attitude into it, you know? So, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. It's just, but it's part of
I'm
the
just letting
beauty
you
of
go.
wrestling. All that, like, work shoot perspective is very fucking cool. But
Well, I
that,
mean,
bringing up CM Punk is what's interesting. Like, that, you know,
yeah,
that's.
well, I mean, what I would say is I was disappointed that he won.
Well, you know where I stand on this. I was very on the record saying I really did not want him to win. And I gotta be honest, I did not really like this finish. My first Hangman match, where I didn't like the finish because I loved all the Hangman run. I thought was a very great title run. It made him a star. He also, by the way, up at the, looked like $1 million on that night. He's in great shape right now. I don't know if people notice for himself, and he's a notoriously chubby man. And he looked great, but I thought the finish of this match. Was they tried to do the thing where it's like he had the title in hands and the ref's knocked out, he can put him down, you know? But he chose to beat him the morally correct way, and then he got hit with the GTS because of it.
Well, some would say that like he played to like Hangman's one true weakness, you know?
Is
That
that
in the
he's.
moment, Hangman can't do that. And he drove him to that point. He set him up for it.
But why? But that's a heel finish, right? Like because I know we're blending the lines of like heel and face, but like no one wants to see Hangman hit him with the title, right? Like that's not at all. They're trying to pull like it's like Batman kind of a thing where you're like, all right, the only way he can stop Joker is by killing him, and he's against killing, right? It's like locking him up does nothing. He will escape, right? So the only way to kill him, and Joker's like, kill me, because if you kill me, you make me a martyr, right? It shows that you're actually not good. You actually don't stand for shit, right? And that's the beauty of Joker. That's why he literally stands there. And Joker doesn't give a shit. He'd rather be dead. He's fine to be alive. He's clinically like just insane, right?
Could we say that Batman's in the way right now?
Oh my God. I didn't even notice. I I didn't even notice that Batman was in the way right now. Oh my god, hold on. Oh no. Oh no, I got a new phone, so I don't know where it is. Oh no, because the way I play it, it's not gonna work. Hold on. Oh no, it will. Batman is in the way.
Batman stays in the way, man. He's always in the way.
Yo.
I honestly, if we go back, like, I think the last 40 podcasts that we've done, probably Batman has gotten in the way somehow.
I'm working on a Batman project. By the way, it's not like for DC or anything. It's for DB. It's for me, you know? And so a Batman's been on my mind like a lot lately, okay?
And, we know.
And we know that, but it's even more. And So the thing is that they set him up. CM Punk is just, in that case, is not the Joker. You know what I'm saying? Why does CM Punk need to be hit with the title for him to beat him?
Right.
It doesn't work. It's not a great writing for me, in my opinion. Is there another part of the match that I missed
you could say that, like, he hit him with everything, right? He hit him with the buckshot, right?
Yeah.
And he kicked out of it. Did he kick out of the buckshot? Like, Hangman hit Punk with the buckshot.
Right.
Hit him with the dead eyes.
So this is the surefire way.
There's only one thing left to do. Can you do it? And then
right. That's the only surefire way to put him down, but. If that's the story, it makes Hangman a little weak, you know? But yeah. That's okay. He's okay for him to lose, you know? I just think that thing of looking at the title, like, this is the way I could do it, is just...
This is the way?
What it is for me is that it's like... It's not believable to me that CM Punk will kick out of literally everything he throws at him.
Right.
Like, I love CM Punk, but he's not that guy. He's not. That's like for a giant. Like, that's for like Wardlow. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Like, he. And I guess if we want to go even further, I guess now I'm really dissecting this to an unhealthy degree. He had no problem in those, like, whatever those matches were called, like the street fight and the Texas death match. He had no problem like crucifying Adam Cole through a table. So why, you know, I guess that wasn't cheating because it's part of the rules. That's why. Because those matches, that's part of the rules. And he's a baby, right?
Right.
I think what doesn't hit is you're right. Is that it doesn't hit that CM Punk's a guy who you throw everything at him. That's just not who he is. Like I would believe that for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Or Moxley, right?
Yeah.
And that's inherently really the problem with this CM Punk run, is that he hasn't done enough good shit in ring to be like kind of a believable work rate champion.
Yeah, I would say his stories have been good. His journey has been decent. I mean, the MJF stuff was electric.
I got to be clear. CM Punk, one of my guys. I actually love CM Punk. I just didn't want him to become... the champion. You know?
I don't really know where we go now, you know? Like, I mean, might as well just fucking get Danielson in there, right? I mean if we're gonna do it, let's just do it, right? And just start giving us all those fucking matches. I mean,
yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is that I'm more excited, even though I know where you saw it. I'm more excited, just hypothetically, for a Danielson Hangman match than Danielson at CM Punk.
Yeah, and honestly,
am I wrong?
Honestly, he does not have to hold this title long.
No, that's
we can have
thing.
We can have a very short reign. I would love for honestly him to like lose it on a Dynamite, like quick, like on tomorrow. Yeah. Wouldn't it be sick if he came out there and he's like, I'm a fighting champion. I'm going to do an open challenge. And like someone insane comes out and beats him. Like Kenny returns and just is like, it's me.
That's
I mean,
thing.
Well, Well, that's the thing also. I wore this
You just,
shirt.
yeah, you just hit on my next thing, which is that the quick fix for all this, where he'll be like, oh, that's cool, is that if they just go right into CM Punk Kenny, right? I mean, and that's probably the plan, right? Because like that is something I do want to see. You know, I do want to see CM Punk Kenny. I don't really want to see CM Punk. Actually, CM Punk Moxley, I'm into. I don't know why I'm not into CM Punk Daniel Bryan, even though it feels like, I don't know
Well,
why. Am I not into that? Is that, what does that feel
let
like to
me
you?
here's how they make it work. June 26 is Forbidden Door, right?
Right.
You get Kenny back in the mix, and then you put like Okada in there, make it a three-way match for the AEW
I don't
title or
think that's
something.
what they're gonna go. I think that they're gonna go like CM Punk Okada or something, right? Or
Yeah,
like
but you
Kota
then you
Ibushi.
throw, I mean, but like let's get we or maybe Kenny comes out at the end of that match. I don't know, but I'm telling you right now, they're missing Kenny. Like this is an interesting. Like, there's a lot of good wrestlers and a lot of good talent. There was a lot of good matches on that card.
Yeah.
It just felt off. I was very off. I'm like, I'm not excited about this. Cool matches are cool.
Yeah.
Wow, this match was dope. I mean, what was Tony thinking with this? With putting Darby and Kyle O'Reilly? Granted, cool match, but that and then the Ty Conti and the Sammy Guevara and the Scorpios. Oh my God, there was no need for it. It was too
It
long.
felt a little bit, dare I say, like a WWE booked pay-per-view. Like it was a little bit of like those like last minute matches thrown in, a lot of matches you don't care about, you know?
I don't know why he did that, huh? I just don't get it. It just don't make sense. And I mean,
You know what I'm
what
not
it,
into?
I can tell, I know exactly what
Where
you're
am
not
I
into.
gonna get, where am I going?
Adam Cole and Britt Baker as
I'm not
Owen
into that at all. I
Hart.
couldn't be less into that. Like the
Someone.
meta of like they're a couple is not that cool to me. Now,
The
the
best,
meta
the best.
of like when Edge and Lita are having an actual affair, which is dating Matt Hardy, and then they make that a storyline, I'm into that. And they call him the
I
Rated
will.
R Superstar. Steal your girlfriend. Like, I like that. But it's
I
just like,
will.
hey, these guys date.
Yeah.
Who likes
The
that?
actually.
Who's into this? I don't think anyone likes it.
One of the questions we had was, what do you
Yeah.
think about Cole and Britt as the winners of the Owen tournament? That was from Philip Hollingsworth. And I was like,
Adam Cole with a
very.
trophy is just about as lame as I view him.
Well, do we need titles? We didn't need the titles. If they come out with those titles, I mean, listen, I have all the
Yeah.
faith in the world for them to do something good with this. They're two very talented pro wrestlers, and Britt is like perfect in this kind
Right,
of
'cause they got
scenario.
those titles also, right?
Yeah, so you know they'll do something with it. I don't know. I just felt like it could have been a little bit more interesting. I think the culmination of that tournament kind of fizzled a little.
I just don't like Samoa Joe losing to Adam Cole.
Distraction finish too.
Yeah. But I just think like Samoa Joe is a guy I just build up, you know?
I
Because
know, man.
they might go right into Joe CM Punk also. Because Joe is actually a pretty good guy to feed to CM Punk for his first, right?
Not a bad idea.
And that's why you can have Samoa Joe lose because you just throw him right into this feud. People will forget he lost his match. You know what I mean? But I think they're doing that whole Jay Lethal thing, right? So, but that's on
Yeah.
ROH. So it's like, it can I don't know what the world looks like in that sense, but can Joe be feuding to have two feuds on two different shows?
I mean, he's been doing it. He's just fucking wrestling the Owen Hart tournament.
Right, but it wasn't a feud. He was just kind of in it. Like, he didn't have a
Yeah.
full-on storyline. You know, he's just like a member of this tournament who's an ROH champion, you know?
Let's see. The official rankings as of the 25th, top five for men. Number five, Tony Nese. Number four, Jay Lethal. Number three, Adam Cole. Number two, John Moxley. And number one was CM Punk. How do
You
you feel
know,
about that?
is that based on record?
That was based on record by, well, I mean, that this is their power ranking, so I'm sure there's some other influence in it too.
Right. Read me the list again of the guys.
Five, Tony Nese. Four, Jay Lethal. Three, Adam Cole. 2, John Moxley, 1, CM Punk.
That's so weird. Where's Danielson?
Not on there. He's on the tag.
Wardlow's not on there? I guess he hasn't really had.
No. He's just, he hasn't had an official match, I guess. Also, Jericho Society getting the win over Mox and Danielson, which, by the way, let's talk about that. Wild Thing playing for fucking on loop is one of the greatest things in wrestling history.
Yeah, that was very fun.
We need more of that.
Well, I was like not into Wild Thing, you know? And then I take that back. I think it's dope. I'm into
it. It's amazing. It's, I mean, the fact that it was just on loop and while they were wrestling in the arena.
It was just so crazy to see a song playing while they wrestle. You never see it, really.
So you know? Much fun, dude. We need that more.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was very cool. I really dug that. I don't know what Jericho's going for right now. I like that he's in shape, you know? But, I mean, the Blackpool, this is not a great use of Blackpool Combat Club, but boy, oh boy, that match was fucking bloody as shit.
Man, Eddie Kingston walking down with the
fucking oil can?
With the gas can and the blood all over him and the Yankee shirt. Finally wearing a Yankee shirt. I've been telling this guy to be wearing a Yankee shirt for so long.
The gas can was fucking crazy. So I was like, I'm rewatching this clip here. Daniel Bryan looks like he's Butch. He looks like dressed like Butch. The fucking what's his name? Pete, I forgot his real name already.
Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne.
Pete Bugenhagen.
I mean, just pouring gasoline is so crazy on anybody. Yeah. Like it's such a
It's obviously that's not gasoline.
It's such a crazy thing to do.
He's gonna light him on fire. He fucking hates himself.
Yeah, like it's like if I was about to commit this murder. But the crazy thing is that when fucking Orton really did it, he literally killed the Fiend. Remember that?
Oh my god, that's right. I forgot about that.
He actually killed him, and then he came back at WrestleMania, right? And then he was all charred up, but then he like just mysteriously turned back normal. Do you remember that? And then we all thought that the Fiend wasn't actually Bray Wyatt because he covered up all his tattoos and shit. And then never came back again.
You know what?
What?
There's a very good possibility that that's actually true. That at that time they were like in the middle of it and he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And they're like, fuck, what are we going to do? Let's just burn them. And then that way we can put them in full, like, crazy gloves and weird things.
Bray Wyatt.
Also, he just tweeted. He said soon. He, like, went on a crazy tweet spree this today.
Was it WrestleMania 37? Here, Bray Wyatt, WrestleMania 37. I think it was him, though. I think we proved it was him. There was enough shots of his tattoos. It was just kind of bad gear. Oh, is he coming back?
He's saying soon, yeah.
I mean, wrestling.
I was thinking
he's so fucking good.
I wonder.
I want him back in WWE, to be honest. I mean,
I was thinking it, dude. I was like, whoa, Hell in a Cell. I was like, imagine if he came back to life in the cell and just like fucking killed Seth and Cody. And then Batman and the Joker have to fight together in order to stop this.
What was the Seth promo? I didn't see it yet. What did you say? He said it was really good.
Dude, he said some crazy, like he said a lot of things. He talked about smashing the throne and like, you know, like running off with your friends and like things like that. He went deep into it. The lines were sick. He was just like real heavy with it. And like, he's like, this is my kingdom. You can't come in here. He's like, and then finally, when I beat you, we'll like all be out of this American nightmare, he said. I thought it was a fucking just a smooth promo.
I'm gonna put it on right now in the back. You won't be able to hear it, but I'm gonna be listening to it a little bit.
Yeah, but I just honestly, this match is sick. I mean, let me tell you something. Seeing Cody Rhodes in WWE, everything is working.
Yo, I want that poster. Did you find that poster?
Bro, no, but he does it in his entrance. Did he always do that? I don't think he did in AEW when it comes up to the whoa. That first whoa, like fire. He puts his arms up, the fireworks go off behind him. He comes out, he's got the fucking three-piece suit on. He's got the watch chain. That tattoo is looking better than ever. I mean, they got the graphics with the banners hanging and stuff, dude. Just really, really, it's amazing. Oh, here's
Cody.
Cody's promo was all right. It was like the same old kind of thing. But Rollins cuts the promo from the crowd. He's
lost his voice for a while, Cody.
Yeah.
I think he can't handle this WWE schedule anymore.
Oh, man, this schedule's tough.
Yeah. You know, see, they moved the Melody Bank to... Oh. It was weird because he cut that whole promo in Allegiant Stadium, remember?
Dude, that's so crazy they did that. And did you see Tony Khan tweeted? He was, like, at dinner with Dana White and I think his dad, he said. And fucking he was able to tell Dana the news, like, that he got live at dinner that they had to move from Allegiant to fucking MGM.
That's crazy. Oh, here, I'm watching Seth promo. I'm interested. Because this Seth character, we've talked about it many times, a little wacky for me. Oh, my God, he's dressed insane. What is he wearing, like a kimono? Wait, people are loving it, though. We got to be honest. This crowd loves it.
They love it, man. They're all into it. He rears it back. Yeah. He, like, does this thing. It's like he's got these different personalities. So, like, he snaps out of the crazy and then, like, up in your face. God. He goes all in on him, dude. Like, when you hear a good line, repeat it and then, like, pause it and repeat it. Because this match is so sick. And, like, man, I look at AEW this weekend and then I see Cody getting a better entrance than the entire fucking show on Sunday. And I'm like, WWE should just end this brand split right now. Like,
they right are, right? I mean, where are they
now? They're... Finish it off. It would be the best thing for the company. They have top tier women, top tier men wrestlers. They're doing incredible work with, like, this Kevin Owens and Ezekiel thing. Like, I mean, I say it every week. It's the same thing over. I mean, this Raw was nothing special. I watched Raw, it was a very mediocre go home show, but, like, okay, we're into it.
Yeah.
But, like, if they end this brand split, man, and then they just, everything can work. By the way, they pulled Sasha and Naomi's merch off the shop. Update.
Ah, interesting. Sasha might be she might just be happy in AEW. She could just wrestle, like, 30-minute matches, right? And I don't know. I don't think they're ever going to let her out of her contract. I'm watching Seth here. So the general thing Seth is saying is, like, yo, like, he's kind of, like, tossing out their other matches and being like, I was trying to like you too, but, you know, the reality is I hate you.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of, like, all this Cody hype. You stink, you know?
Yeah.
And he's saying you left because you weren't good enough. I like that.
It's amazing, dude. He goes so awesome. Like,
here, every single day we're gonna...
This is incredible content. I ate 5 slices of pizza.
Hold on,
today.
I can get this through. I can get this here so we can dissect it together. Hold on, give me a sec.
Let me ask you a question in the meantime.
I want to listen to this. I want to listen to this in real time. Right. We haven't done this in a while. We do a promo.
Cold Drizzle says, "Is CM Punk washed?" This was a question plaguing me during the whole.
Oh yeah, let's hit the questions and while I bring this up.
Yeah. Should he have the shortest title run of all AEW runs? So we kind of answered that, and we both kind of agreed that it should be a short title run.
Well, No.
Is he washed? Like, I don't think so. But he did botch those fucking fuck shots real bad. I think the first one was supposed to be like that, not the second one. And his one on Dynamite like 2 weeks ago was fucking miserable. So
he's not really that athletic, CM Punk. CM Punk's botched. Go back and watch his WWE matches. He's botching matches left and right. Watch this. I mean, with Ziggler, there's a spot where him and Ziggler, he's supposed to pick him up for a power bomb, and he drops him. Like, CM Punk's not a great in-ring talent, just especially compared to the level of where these other guys are at now nowadays. That's not his magic, and also it's part of the beauty of wrestling. You don't have to be just a supreme athlete. It's not like Tony Nese is over. Look at him. He's like an Adonis. You know what I mean? But, like, he doesn't have the spark, you know? CM Punk's all spark. It's beautiful. But is he washed up? No. CM Punk has – his MJF feud was fucking awesome. CM Punk is doing some great shit. It's just he's in and
he's old.
What he's doing right now, you know what? He's not that old. That's the other thing. The 42 years old or whatever, it's not that old. Like Daniel Bryan is like is the same age, really, or like a year younger. It's not about being old. It's just stopped wrestling for like 7 years.
Yeah, that's
right.
It.
And it proved to everybody that his heart's not in pro wrestling for a long time. And he's not in the shape of Daniel Bryan, where like if you are Daniel Bryan, you're like 40, you got to be in the best shape of your life and putting on clinics like he does, you know? So it's really not. And same thing, Ziggler's the same age too. Would you say Ziggler literally was eating those spears from fucking Braun Breaker, like doing those backflips? It was insane. It's not really about that. It's just that CM Punk doesn't feel like he can believably beat his opponents, you know? And like that's part of the beauty of wrestling. So I don't think that it's that he's old. I think that he's showed his cards a little too much, you know? And so people are like, you know, so now they made him the champion and it's a little bit of a forced championship. It's a little bit of like you're like, oh, this is a good way to make CM Punk feel like non-nostalgic, let you know he's still in the title picture, you know? And it's just a little, it's one of those things with wrestling. It's why wrestling's so beautiful and it's so fickle, is that it just kind of doesn't work. It kind of doesn't work. In that company, you're like, I don't believe he could beat Hangman. But Daniel Bryan, you believe that he could beat him. It's just how it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not that he's washed up per se. He still does great shit. It's just that he's not in a company that's all work rate.
Let me ask you this.
He's not believably able to beat these guys who are truly like warriors, you know?
How'd you feel about his Larry hoodie?
I hate that. I hate all that shit that Punk does. I hate when he talks about,
let's end it on
a
that.
A lot of ironic detachment, you know? Like, here's my dog. It's a lot of, you know? I don't, you know what? I don't even like his, like, reproductive rights shirts, you know? No. And those are, like, I agree with him 1,000%. But even that, it's like, you know, it's almost a little cosplay for me. But I guess it fits his character, right?
Speaking of cosplay, how'd you feel about the Young Bucks cosplaying the Hardys? I thought that was I was fucking dying.
Thought that was really funny. I actually thought that was pretty funny. I thought
that match, that match sucked.
It was one of the first times they pulled off like the announcers and the bit were in sync. They like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, it's like they didn't like sell it out beforehand.
Yeah. They should have did that for the match at Double or Nothing. They shouldn't have wasted that on a Dynamite. That would have been the perfect thing for them to do at that match.
Right. You came running back. The prodigal son returns home to fulfill his family legacy.
I'm going back a little bit. Sorry, guys.
Didn't work out so well for you.
Because I want it from the full context.
Is Roman Reigns versus Kenny the biggest match of the generation that will never happen?
Every single day that you were gone, you and your little friends, you tried to tear down what I was building here.
Oh, yeah. That's really good.
And when that didn't work out so well for you, you came running back. The prodigal son returns home to fulfill his family legacy. Yeah.
Listen to that guy
Not
in the crowd.
Not on my watch, pal.
Yeah, this promo's really good.
You don't get to be the conquering hero in my kingdom. Oh, no. You don't get to take a sledgehammer to the throne and then come back and try to take that throne from me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say it again.
This promo is hurt. Do you not see, Tulo, how this promo is hurt by him dressing like an asshole?
Shut up, dude.
Because he's cutting a promo like he's Roman Reigns, but he's not Roman Reigns. This promo should come from Roman.
Exactly.
Right.
No shit.
You
come from Seth Rollins.
I don't want you here in 6 days inside Hell in a Cell. I'm going to prey on your insecurities, and I'm not just going to change you, Cody. I'm going to end you. I'm going
to lick you.
And then we can all finally wake up from this American nightmare.
The laugh. I don't like the laugh. Oh, now he's just dancing with people in the crowd. All right, I gotta admit, this is a good time.
Seth, just curious, what right now is stopping me?
Bad response.
Three little ropes, this barricade.
Three little ropes. That's it. You don't need to push it.
The three little ropes thing is the kind of, remember in AEW they talked about that? About how, like, the wall, they talk about the wall. Us.
Why are we waiting? It seems.
It. You don't have to play anymore.
They don't beat each other up?
They do.
All right, I'll put it on mute. That's a great promo by Seth. And actually, you're right. It is interesting coming from Seth because Seth is not really the top guy right now. So it right. is like kind of like leads itself to like he can still go up. But Seth is important. Like he is like always, you know, him and like AJ, a couple of those guys are like always perpetual number twos, you know what I mean? In the company, they could always be in the title running. They could always win the title. So yeah. Yeah, you're right. That promo was amazing. I do, you know, it's, yeah, that's good. That's great. I agree. Great promo. Let's not like mm-hmm. knock it for no reason. I could find things wrong with it. That question is what, can you reread it?
Is Roman versus Kenny the biggest match of this generation that will never happen? And honestly, I don't think never is the right word to use there.
I think there's a chance we see that match.
Yeah.
I think we could see that match. I think Kenny will go to WB. I maybe I'm fucking nuts now. But I don't know. Listen, we gotta have a conversation. Dude. The buzz what?
I mean, a long time ago, they had a chance to fly to fucking Tokyo with a blank check and offer money. And I think they did.
No, they did. He met with WWE. They offered him a lot of money.
I think it's going to be an insane number. And he'd be stupid.
I think he's going to get less and still go. I'm going to take it even a step further.
No.
I think that AEW, I think AEW.
Can you imagine Kenny Omega with a WWE budget? Can you imagine? He'll be fucking ziplining into the ring every single time with one wing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot. I have a million things to say here. But what I'm saying is that it's interesting. I don't want to be too like short-sighted. Because whatever, but it is weird. This is the first Double or Nothing that has not felt like a huge, huge deal, you know? Yeah. Every Double or Nothing's been kind of a big deal. And this Double, I felt like this Double or Nothing, people were not that pumped for it. And it's interesting because CM Punk was main eventing it, you know? And so they have a lot going
like that
on there.
Pop, his pop wasn't big either. So it was like, you know, I think less is more. I think Tony's got to learn less is more here. Like big
time. Pay-per-view is very long, you know. So I've said it. We're in like the interesting, like great reset. I don't. AEW ain't down and out. Don't get me wrong. But I do think we are at a place where they got their work cut out for them. They can't really just slap together these cards anymore. Their storytelling needs to be like better and stronger than WWE. And right now they're, you know, WWE's doing things that are catching our eye. And so it's not just like fans like us, we're like just gravitating towards AEW only. And so that's fucking interesting, you know?
I got a really important question for you.
Yeah. I think we might see, the question really is like, do we ever see Omega versus Roman Reigns? Here's what I think. I think that we might not see it because Roman Reigns is not around. I think that Omega will come into WWE, but I think that Roman is starting to. I think he's gonna have success. He's gonna have some success outside of WWE. I don't think he has the charisma to be like doing Cena, where he's got his own TV show, like you know, like that. But he might surprise you. He might be able to be good on camera like Batista. Like, he, you don't know, because he's kind of quiet. You know what I mean? He might be able to, like, tap into some understated acting with and just look awesome. You never know.
Got in the movie. I smashed it.
Yo, you think Roman could have pulled off the role of Drax? I think the answer is no.
Probably not.
No.
No.
That's a credit to Batista. He's like legitimately funny. Yeah, yeah. He's like legitimately funny. But what is there a role you think Roman could do well? He might be better off in like a Dune, right? Where he kind of doesn't have to say much. He just kind of has to look badass.
Mom. I'm saying I could see him in Mandalorian. I hope he gets a fucking...
Oh my God. Know. Should we do a Star Wars detour?
Huh, yeah. I'm ready to talk about Obi-Wan. But before that, real quick question.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Mueller wants to know. Yeah. This is their family's first summer of punk.
Yeah.
What can we expect going forward?
You know, I think what you...
Maybe she needs to... I think she needs to, like, look into your eyes and tell and ask you what does she see. And I think, honestly, it's a cult of personality.
I think you're expecting a cult of personality, you know? Look at my eyes, what do you see? It's a cult of personality, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Neon lights, I mean, Nobel Prize. I think that's what you could expect to see. Summer of Punk. I mean, you know, this is for punk to win in Vegas again. And because that's another thing. Like, I mean, punk was like crying when he won the title. And like, I was like, I don't believe that you're that emotional. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't believe that. It's not the way to go for punk, right? He
yeah,
needs
man.
To be way more badass man.
He needs to be way more badass man.
Way more badass man. And I don't know. You know, it's interesting because it's punk, but it's like, and he does great work. You know what I mean? But it is a little like this, you know, the babyface punk thing. It's a little, you know, he's lost his edge. It is what it is. And Christian.
Hey, yeah. I couldn't say it fast enough. Okay.
Did you I got to pee so bad. Could we you answer a question without me? How about that?
Okay, great. Right. I love this. All right. Josh Huff asks, is Judgment Day lame only by comparison to the better House of Black? Or is the whole idea direction actually just pretty lame? The answer to that question, Josh Huff, is fucking both. They are... you can't really say only, but they are lame by comparison to the House of Black. One, because they say things like all rise, and that's a House of Black thing. Although House of Black doesn't do it anymore. I will say House of Black lost a lot of steam. They got Ray Phoenix getting injured was like a huge fucking detour for them. Hawkeye detour, let's say. And that really sucked because they were ready to go forward with the Julia Black stuff. So everything got put back on the back burner. But I will say this, the way they showed up this week, all that face paint and the mist with Julia, boom.
Yeah.
A little House of Black detour.
Do you need me to answer anything or no?
I'll ask you the question. Is Judgment Day lame only by comparison to the better House of Black? Or is the whole idea slash direction actually just pretty lame, Josh? I said both.
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. I think that Judgment Day hasn't really found their foot yet. I think Judgment Day is a kind of a weird name just because Judgment Day is a pay per view. It's like a WWE pay per view, so it's kind of odd because I just think Judgment Day is a pay per view. What?
I mean, I would love if they brought that back and Judgment Day had their own fucking.
I'm going to say something I wish Newman was here for. I don't doubt – Edge is one of those guys I don't doubt, okay? But Malakai Black is a guy that I have not – I'm not sold on enough, meaning I love Malakai Black, one of my guys, right? But Edge is like a super, super duper mega talent when it comes to the professional wrestling.
I think that
Edge will find this before Malakai Black becomes – truly,
I don't think so.
A top dog because let's just watch it, let's track it.
Well, I think you're wrong for the simple fact, and what I said in my answer to this question was that House of Black seriously got railroaded when Phoenix got injured, because they were ready to move forward with this whole entire storyline. So once he got injured, it like backtracked everything, you know? Yeah. So like the Julia Black stuff got the Julia, is there last name Black?
Julia I don't Hart. Remember. Julia Hart.
Julia yeah. Hart. So well, she's Julia Blackheart now.
Yeah.
AW, you can take that one too, you fucking assholes. Okay. And so now they, I mean, look at them this week. They looked insane. They looked so good with the face paint. And now Julia gets into the mix. I'm like, you know what? I think we're finally going to get that next step. They need to push those guys to the forefront. We need Malakai Black in the title picture. Like, fucking give me Malakai Black for CM Punk. That's what I want. Let Malakai. Them start tormenting CM Punk. We have not gotten something like that in AEW yet. We need a dark, dark storyline that, like, where, you know, how WWE would always do shit with the Fiend and yeah. like do stuff backstage that was kind of lame. Like, we need Malakai to really show us, like, that fucking what they're all about, because yeah, they came out this so week fun. And put their foot down. But yeah,
that would be so fun. I'm in complete agreement. I love that.
Do you want to take an Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I just think Edge will do cool shit pretty soon. I actually like just believe in Edge. I think he's really cool. And Christian.
Sure.
No, actually, I don't like Christian that much.
Obi-Wan
Detour. I would love it. Obi-Wan Detour. So did you like the pilot for Obi-Wan?
Did you watch both episodes?
I did watch both episodes.
I mean, let me first say this. That is a beautifully shot show. I mean,
it's expensive. That's an expensive show. There's no question there.
How much per episode are they doing? Are they hitting the Stranger Things season 4, $30 million an ep budget? They're not doing $30 million an ep for Obi-Wan?
I don't know. $30 million an ep for Stranger Things? Are you kidding me?
Have you watched this season?
I haven't watched it, but that sounds not true. Like, it was $10 million an ep for Game of Thrones.
It was $30 million an episode for the Stranger Things.
Let me see. That maybe one episode cost that much?
Yeah, per episode. $30 million per
episode. Yeah, but not maybe there's one episode that has like... No. Stranger Things season 4 reportedly cost $30 million per episode. Oh, my God.
Bro,
is this show that popular?
Well, season 4 is pretty badass, man. I'm not going to lie.
I liked every season. My relationship with Stranger Things is very strange.
Well, season 1 was awesome because it was hit in your feels, got the nostalgic.
Yeah, right? I like all of it. But I don't like the 80s. I'm not I like 80s music, right? But the 80s, okay, I've talked about this before. I'm not an 80s kid. I'm more of a 90s kid. I was born in the 80s, you know, but I'm more of a 90s kid. So the 80s kind of like are a little like, I don't know what else to say, but they kind of like skeeve me out a little bit. Like, meaning, I'm not grossed out by it, but there was such a big jump from like the way things looked from the 80s to 90s, and 90s looked so much better to me. Like in the 80s and technology jump. So like
video games.
Yeah, all those 80s video games were such shit compared to like Nintendo. Like, right? Because like there's been a big jump in video games, obviously, from like NES, right? Right? So like from NES, right, to like now is insane, the difference, right? It's insane. It's literally like night and day.
Yeah.
But you could still pick up like Mario 1, 2, 3 and play them, and you'd be like, these games are badass, mom. Right? But you can't go back and play fucking like Invaders and tell me that that's like a great game. You know? Am I wrong or am I right?
Yeah, hey man, you're right.
And then like the 80s clothing, besides all the like fun Madonna shit and whatever and all the like hairband stuff, that stuff was cool. I like all that. But just the day-to-day is so gross to look at to me. Like the huge glasses. Women's hair was like crazy. It's like so... Women in the 80s were just not even trying to look attractive, okay? And the guys also. I don't know why I'm going right after the women, but you know what I mean? And then, like, and then just people's houses sucked then, too. It was all that wood paneling and, like, right? The cars were gross, you know? I just think, so, like, I remember, and then also, on top of that, all those 80s movies as a kid, well, I'd put on, like, E.T. and be like, this thing is boring as shit. You know, It's so boring.
That's the comedians of 80s.
And I just, even as a kid, I was like, I'm not having it. Someone said this about the 80s, and this is a huge 80s guy. My friend, Joe DeRosa, he made this great on his podcast, We'll See You in Hell. I'm a patron of it, okay? He made a great observation about the 80s. He said that the VHS covers, right, of VHS covers of movies, right, look so much better than the actual movies they could deliver. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like they had all these Bob Osmond covers of movies, right? And then you would like watch them and they'd be like, just shit. It would look bad. You're like, all right, whatever. Now, obviously, there's exceptions, okay? And the biggest exception of all is Star Wars, which from the start looked Bob Osmond, okay? Yeah. Arguably, those Star Wars movies, which are the early 80s, is like 77, 80, and 83, I believe, are the first three movies. Mm-hmm. Or as many would say, the second three movies, right? And they look better than the prequels, right?
Yeah.
And, right. Now. So,
which were in what the I'm 90s, saying is that, right?
So I just think as a 90s kid, I was always a little grossed out by the veneer of the 80s. I didn't like pictures of my parents they'd show me from the 80s. Like, you guys
and your dad
like
was
shit.
A photographer.
Yeah, I was like, you got, why did you guys look like such shit? The comb over was huge, right? The fashion
yeah, they
was terrible. So much
they dressed
mustache
us like they dressed us like shit, too.
Yeah, we look like shit. The 80s was just rough for everybody. Everybody had yellow teeth. Even like 12-year-olds had yellow teeth. You know, it just, for me, the only thing was, that was it. And then also, all right, here's the other thing. All right, and this is a little swampy, but like, whatever. All right, leave me alone. Like, all the like hot chicks of the 80s didn't look hot to me, right? Like, we had like Cindy Crawford, who was like a babe, right? But it was like, who was like the 80s? Like, Madonna, like, everything she wore, none of it was sexy or like, you know? Is that fair or no? Are you staying out of this? Is it too swampy? That's not swampy. Right?
I'm just letting you go. I really don't. I have an actual take on this.
And then who
all.
Are like the cool I'm guys just so coming baffled out of the by... 80s? Who are like the cool? Like, I'm just saying, like, so if people like put on Stranger Things, they're like, I don't want to go back to that time. You know, I don't crave that time at all. You know?
Well, also, it was like, living in New York, it was like the city was like burning down. Like it felt like, you know, like there was just the '80s was a crazy time. That was,
yeah.
I mean,
I said earlier when the '80s, like I grew up in a house and in the backyard, the '80s, the deck in my backyard was brown the whole 80s for some reason. And then like the '90s, we realized like paint it like light gray.
Damn, you had a deck in the '80s? God bless you, man.
My backyard had like a deck. It was just everything was so fucking the color schemes of the '80s. It was so dreary. Am I wrong?
Did your parents live
was
on Long
E.T.
Island the whole time?
Was E.T. fucking fun? E.T. That movie stinks ass, okay? I hate that movie. It's so fucking boring, you know? Now, when was Indiana Jones made, though? I mean, here's where I'm going to start eating it. 1981. Like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Damn it. That's deep. That's right at the beginning of the '80s too. All right, look. Anything George Lucas did in the '80s was good. Okay. He was the breakout star of the '80s was George Lucas. And then sure. All I adore hair metal. But that all of that spun out of the goofiness that was the '80s. That I, you know, that I if you were a star in the '80s, you could do some cool shit. But anyway, that's it. Like The Wedding Singer, even like Adam Sandler and The Wedding Singer, that I would hate if that my like prime years I look like that. That would fucking kill me. You know what I mean? I'm figuring this out as I go. What? So when like I really have a thing where like I turn on Stranger Things, like I don't want to watch that time. I don't want to see a basement that was like finished in wood paneling, and I don't want to see those TVs are so shitty. Those TVs were so bad in the 80s.
So bad.
Yet they moved the wires? Because as a 90s kid, I was dealing with all the fallout from all the shit 80s technology.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like rabbit ears, because my family didn't have a lot of money. So it wasn't like the 90s hit. We were upgrading to all the good shit, you know? So I was stuck with all this 80s crap.
Yeah, it's true. The toys weren't nearly as.
I love the 80s music, but it's because I'm like a little bit making fun of it, right? There's an element, like there's an ironically detached part of me that is like listening to like of Van Halen jump and going like, this song's so stupid, I love it. It's just, hey, you might as well jump.
Jump.
Jump. Go ahead and jump. But boy, oh boy, do I not want to be a guy driving in my car, blasting that, thinking this is good. This is what good thing stuff. No, I want to be a guy in the early aughts, late 90s, driving his car to Your Body is Wonderland, which is what I did. All right, look, I don't have a lot of grand to stand on here, but Tulo, would you like to react to everything I just said there? No.
How did we even get there? Oh, Star Wars, Obi-Wan. So what do you think about Obi-Wan?
Listen, let me tell you how I feel about Obi-Wan. What I'm loving, folks, what I love, what I can tell you is that I love Disney Plus and the what I love, their respect for the prequels. I love it. They have such a high respect for the prequels.
That like recap of the prequels before the first episode was better than the first episode, in my opinion.
It made the prequels look good.
It made the prequels look insane. I was like, I don't even want to watch this. I want to just go back and watch all these fucking movies right now. I mean, wow. They killed it with that. Whoever said, let's do a fucking sick recap of all the prequels, just cut all the best scenes out.
But when really I think of the 80s, I think about like, I'm sorry, I'm jumping back into the 80s detour, but it's like Howard the Duck, which like I adored as a kid, but makes me feel weird. You know what I mean? Because, like, it makes me feel weird.
Because then in the 90s, you got Gizmo Duck and he gives no fucks.
Yeah, Gizmo Duck gives no fuck. A lot of stuff in the 80s just makes me feel weird. It's a weird time. People were fucking weird. Everybody was whacked out in the 80s, okay? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Like, you know, I'll if you want to get defensive about, I'm not like, you know, a 90s like apologist or anything, but I'm saying like this, as a 90s kid, okay, with the Clinton years, people like those, like, there's a lot of, like, Stranger Things, there's a lot of 80s, like, parodies, right, like Wedding Singer. There's a lot of things like, oh, it's set in the 80s. That Wonder Woman movie, they're like, let's set it in the 80s. And you can pull off the 80s. You're so goofy and stupid, right, that people can, you can use that as a base reality to make a product pop in goofiness, right? And, like, give it style. 90s stuff doesn't really, like, the 90s stuff doesn't really work, right? Like, the best, like, parody I saw in the 90s, they did a great job, was and I love this show. I thought it was awesome. It was what the fuck was that show called? Shit, I don't even remember what it was called. That's crazy. What was that show? It was on Hulu. And
Pen 15?
Pen 15, right? Like, that was great.
I didn't even see it. I don't know where that came from.
No, the first season of Pen 15 is fucking great, okay? I recommend that. This is the comedians of Pen 15, okay? It's fucking great. Really, I loved it. I really loved it. I loved it. But no one really, like, and people liked it, but it's hard to set something in the 90s. I, you know, you can have, like, Vanilla Ice. There's a couple of things you can do, but the 90s, I'm sorry, were just a little bit normal. They were a little bit more normal. Now, this feels like I'm debating somebody about the 80s, but I'm not. There's no other side of this argument, you know? If you would like to debate the 80s, let's get that. Too low.
Let's get that.
You want to debate the 80s, you know, send us an audio file of you coming against me. I would say this. Your argument's going to be that there's some great movies, and that's true. There actually are some great 80s movies.
Which we learned when we did is someone recommended a game name the move. You have to name the movie, and I have to guess whether it's De Niro or Pacino.
Are 80s movies better?
Nate, let's bring up some
'90s movies. That's what I want to just Google. Let's see. Which decade do you have the best movies, 80s or 90s? I don't know, I think it might be the 80s, to be honest. Anyway, what are we doing?
I was going to say.
Obi-Wan. I love the respect for the prequels. We went on the 80s detour, okay? Yeah. Look, the prequels, the 80s were shit. The prequels need to be respected as canon, okay? Whether you like them or not. And I would also I'm a defender of the prequels, okay? I don't defend them in the sense that like I think they're particularly good. But the bottom line is that they came out of the same brain as the guy who had the whole concept for Star Wars, and that's very important to me. Mm-hmm. It's why those other movies we've immediately forgot them. The race, mm-hmm. the 7, 8, or 9, they're gone. No one's thinking about those as like actual Star Wars movies. There's 6 real Star Wars movies. No one's like, oh, Rogue One. It went 4, Rogue One, 5. You're like, no. Like 3, Rogue One. No. Right? It's side missions. Right? Which is why I struggle to get through some of the stuff on Disney Plus. Right? Mm. But here's the thing. If we're going to respect the prequels as canon, okay, and we're going to see a show that has Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen reprising those roles, and we're seeing what actually execute Order 66 looked like. We're seeing like what that looks like 10 years out. Well, then that's a pretty interesting lay of the land for a show. But here's the thing. And I love it, just opened up with Jedis. And that's I struggle with anything Star Wars with which has a lack of Jedis. I struggle. Mm. You know, and I don't need like, to be honest, I don't like when there's too many Jedis. Every time they show the temple and there's a bunch of Jedis fighting, I don't like that. I like when one Jedi is special. I think that's what works really well about the old movies is because you're like, oh, being a Jedi is kind of like this thing where some people don't even believe it's real. Because at that point, you're 20 years removed from the Jedi Order, from Order 66 being executed, right? So the Jedis are scattered, and so I think it's very cool that, like, some people don't believe in it, but they're very powerful. They're in hiding. There might be more. It's kind of this mysterious thing, right? I mean, let's be honest. Jedis, as a Jew, they're Judais, right? I mean, like, Jedis are Jews. I mean, and if you ever want more proof of it, watch the pilot of this Obi-Wan show. They literally have this. It's the first scene of the movie is like basically right of the show is like right out of Inglourious Basterds when they're like looking for Jews and underneath, right? What's the guy called who's looking for them? He's like, they're like hunters, right?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that question. They have a sick name.
The name is really good. It's like
Squisitor?
Inquisitor?
Is it Inquisitor? Exquisitors.
Exquisitor, too low. You know.
Hey, man. That's pretty fucking close, okay?
Yeah, Inquisitor. Star Wars is a great thing where they realize they don't get too fancy with the names. You know, they're like, they're younglings. You know, like they always do that. They'll be like, these are called death sticks. They literally have things like one of the drugs is death sticks, you know? Yes. So they do a lot of that where things are just named. Yeah, exactly. There's spice in this, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Like very Dune-esque. But yeah, the Inquisitors, they're Nazi hunters, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not Nazi hunters.
They're Jew hunters.
They're Jew hunters, right?
Yeah.
It's right at that character, what's his name? Who played like... whatever, the guy who won the Oscar in Inglourious Basterds. So I thought that was really cool. Hunting Jedis like Jews, they're special. I love that. And I'm Jewish. What are you saying?
I'm going to get his name.
His name is Christian Bale.
It's close though.
It's crazy I don't know what his name is. That's
Christopher
crazy.
Waltz.
Yeah, it's Christopher Waltz. Yeah, so that's it. So I love that. So I love that, and I love Ewan McGregor, so it's fun. So I was liking it. I do think that people Tilo, you go.
I think people just need to chill the fuck out.
People were disappointed by the pilot, I felt like, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's cute,
and fun. But like the way the second episode ends, you're like, oh yeah, baby, let's go. You know, like I love all these shows. I think they're fucking incredible. Like, I think we're living in a time where if you don't appreciate this, let me tell you something. Episodes 1, 2, and 3 needed this era of fucking technology. Yeah. Like, okay. If they redid 1, 2, and 3 now, they'd be the best fucking movies in the world, yeah, like ever.
Here's my problem, okay? My problem is, well, I mean, there's so much good shit in the prequels. I love the prequels as they are, okay?
It's like, I'm not a big Star Wars buff. I've seen all the movies so many times, but I'm not like a Star Wars nerd. But like, I appreciate the new stuff more because it looks so fucking incredible. And it's great. And it's entertaining. It's like,
here's the problem. People smell phony. They smell false, right? And sometimes you do everything right. It all makes sense. And it just feels like false, right? So for example, that's exactly what's going on with CM Punk's win. It does not feel... It's like, why do we like wrestling when people give a shit about wrestling, right? About being wrestling fans. They're like, oh, it's fake. It's like, no, it's not fake. Like, when you watch somebody earn the title, it's better than just a fluke win in sport to me. Like, it's like, or something. Like, or we don't even need to compare it. It's just like, you know when someone wins that they earned it, right? That they climbed that ladder. Like, you know that Hangman was wrestling Jericho for the first title, and you could feel like he's not ready for it. And then when he was ready, he did win, you know? And, like, you see all that, and you feel all that. And that's part of the authenticity of wrestling, you know? And then there's the times where someone surprises you. You don't think they're ready, and then they step up to the plate. They give someone a title, and you're like, you know, actually, they're pretty fucking good, you know? And, like, watching a guy like Riddle, love him or hate him, he came up to the roster, it was kind of goofy, and you're seeing like, oh, fuck, he's clicking. That's, like, pretty cool, you know? So that's the problem going on with Star Wars, where it's like CM Punk, it's like he won the title, and you're like, all right, it's fine. He's just not believably the best wrestler, like the top guy there, you know?
Right.
In the way that we see it, you know? And even though he's a huge name. There's so much stuff that happens in these Star Wars shows where you're like, all right, that didn't happen. Like, I can't explain. It's like, yeah, sure, there was a big gap of time, but like, you're telling me that like, that like, at some point Luke Skywalker trained Grogu. Like, you're like, no, that didn't happen. Like, it's like when I watch it, I'm like, you know, I'm like, I don't know. I don't believe that the Luke Skywalker I caught up with later in the story, he trained another little guy. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it happened. Like, if I thought about what happened in the story, but it happens in Book of Boba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand what
you're saying. So that's after. That's after Yoda dies. So you're saying that, like, that happened before Episode 7, Force Awakens. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the hair. There's just a feeling where I'm like, this didn't happen.
Well, it's a very important part happens in that Book of Boba is where they put Grogu on that like thing and that's how like
he gives Luke him over connects. To Luke. He gives him to Luke.
No, he puts him on the rock in order to find other Jedi, like to contact other Jedi, and he connects. He sends out a signal, Grogu, while sitting on that rock.
Luke shows up in that elevator sequence, right? Mm-hmm. No. I'm not saying that it's written great. When I see it, I go, oh, that's cool. But there's a part of the back of my brain where I go like, this didn't happen. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, at that time.
If Star Wars is an actual one linear story, right? And I use the movies as my base. I'm like, you told me after this, Yoda, he starts training like another little Yoda guy. I'm like, nah, I don't believe it. I don't think that happened.
Well, he was trained by Yoda.
Right.
And then he uses his training.
Somebody feels what I'm saying. Like, I'll buy it, but when I turn it on, I'm not like, when I showed up to watch Force Awakens, my brain was like, this is the official Episode 7. This is extremely important, right? But then they lost me. Like, by, like, 7, 8, 9, I was like, this didn't happen. You know what? Like, when I got to the last one, I was like, this didn't happen. You know what I mean? Like,
I think the more I went back and watched them, I liked them more. It's one of those
anyway, weird whatever. Things. It's just, like, my feeling on it. But
I know. Hey, listen, you love Star Wars, said, man.
I don't think that matters. Because, like I've said, people get really caught up, and I don't think they do anymore. Because we're out of the age of, like, being sentimental and, and they're making another Austin Powers from what I hear. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah. And I'm like, go for it. Who cares? Nothing's sacred anymore. Like, we live in the era of sequels and prequels and
did you see Top Gun?
I heard it was great. I didn't see it.
Bro, it was amazing.
I heard it was great.
I mean,
that feels like a movie that would benefit so much from the upgrade in technology because the 80s were shit. You know,
bro,
what I mean?
Let me tell you something. visually incredible. I saw it in Dolby. Like, if you get a chance, either see it in IMAX or Dolby or 4DX, one of the two. 4DX moves and stuff. The chairs move. But Dolby
was
sick.
Five or six in DX. There was, like, Badass Billy Gone. There's China. there's a triple. It's Shawn Michaels in there. Then, I mean, you got to count Tyson. I mean, Tyson was in DX for a little bit. So it's not four. It's like five or six. It's like seven DX. Should we just end on that?
I was honestly, I was literally in my brain going, probably should just end on that one.
We went so long anyway. I mean, let's make sure we got to do a bonus ep after. We're gonna do a bonus ep this week. Yeah. Sorry, our schedules were insanity.
I got a pretty crazy schedule coming up the next like 8 weeks. So,
can you record Thursday sometime?
I think so.
All
maybe.
Right, well, let's try to watch Dynamite because I want to talk after Dynamite this week. See CM Punk, what happens? Because I think it's going to be a big Dynamite. It's in LA, right?
Oh, are you going?
I don't have tickets,
You're really.
Wait, is it
like,
next week though?
Do what I always do. It's this Wednesday. Coming up.
It's tomorrow. I'll probably gonna buy tickets tomorrow.
Or is it June 9th?
Wait, I think it's in June. So I don't think June it is. 9th? But
tomorrow's
guys,
June
1st. They're all in LA though, right? Didn't Malachi say he's in LA?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's AEW the Forum. June 1st. It's Wednesday. What
it's
I would
tomorrow,
recommend to you,
right?
Yeah,
I don't have tickets, but
look at me.
But
they'll let you in a little fucking Nikki floor seats fucking secret. Here,
yeah.
Okay, bro. Set a fucking alarm on your clock on your fucking thing. Like 10:30. Just go to Ticketmaster. They always release tickets the day of. Yeah. Eat the whole day. When you wake up in the morning, go to Ticketmaster. 10:30, go to Ticketmaster. Wait, they'll eventually release tickets. And you'll get really good seats for a good price.
I really just kind of this escape. I've just been so fucking busy with so much shit that like escaped me. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
And you have a show on the 2nd, right?
And also, on the 2nd, this Thursday at like the Lucha House, I'm doing in Pasadena. I'm doing a show.
Oh, well, that's good. It's not an improv show, so at least you're just showing up for that one.
Yeah, Night of 1,000 Honks. I'm doing stand up with Ziggler and Ryan and probably a bunch of AEW guys is my guess, right?
Yeah, I saw a lot of good promos for that. It's gonna be a fun time.
Yeah. So that should be fun. And good shit.
And then all you have last improv, right?
June 6th. Sold out already. Sold out about 2 weeks early. Yeah, and it sold out the day I posted the roster, and it sold out within like an hour, which was very dope. It had been on sale for a while, so there was like a bunch of tickets already sold, but I didn't do any promotion for it because I had other show. We had Comedy Pole show coming up. We had a bunch of live shows in L.A. So, but the day I started promoting it, I put it up, they were gone. So it was fucking dope.
Exciting. Nicole Byer said it's her favorite show to do.
Nicole Byer said, honestly, this is my favorite show. She loves performing on it. She wrote me a nice message thanking me for allowing her to do it, which is obviously, I know Nicole forever. Me and Nicole were on a Herald team in New York, people don't know. Notoriously, we've talked about it on this podcast. We said we never did a funny scene together, but I want to give you an update. I have video proof of me and Nicole doing a funny scene now, so it's not true. It's not true. Good
post
times,
that in the
everybody.
Discord.
Good time. So, yeah, I'm probably going to weasel my way into going to see Dynamite tomorrow night.
I'm telling you, just check Ticketmaster tomorrow during the day. You'll be very happy with what you find.
All right. I'll see if Christina wants to go.
Perfect.
Should be a good time. All right, everybody. Good shit. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. We have a bonus episode. Let's get somebody to debate me about the 80s being better than the 90s. I would love
I'm
that.
I'm sure we could probably get somebody on that for the bonus episode.
Yeah, I don't know any. I don't know people's age. I'm not good at knowing people's age.
I have a feeling Stu's Woods probably definitely screaming. Philip Hollingsworth is probably screaming. Actually, I don't know. Maybe they might be more 90s guys.
The 80s just to give me the willies. But listen, let me tell you. Willies? They give me the wet willies. No, that's 90s. Is Sandlot
Will willies? Smith? Willie, big Willie style?
Ooh. Man, that's a great argument against the 90s. Will Smith as a guy. Yeah.
Getting jiggy with it. Nah, 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 nah.
Can you believe it? He slapped Chris Rock? I still can't believe that happened. I mean, I know it's like it's old news, you know what I mean? But I can't even believe that was a real thing. I was at the Oscars.
Man, there's a lot of
fucking Oscars, you know?
Nothing's fucking real anymore, bro. Nothing's real anymore.
Everything's upside down.
We're literally in the upside down.
See this Mike Myers show? Mike Myers put out this show. It's terrible.
On Netflix? I was like, not watching that.
Yeah. It's like Mike Myers is like the funniest guy ever. You know, everything's on its head. Will Smith was like the nicest guy ever. He's slapping Chris Rock. Mike Myers isn't funny anymore. It's like terrible. We're living in end times, baby.
Top Gun's back. Like, what's going on?
Top Gun's the top
movie. We're back in the 80s.
Tom Cruise is so weird.
The multiverse of madness is currently happening. Like our different eras are starting to all clash together. It's just pure chaos.
The Batman movie stunk. I mean, Jesus Christ. Oh, everybody. All right, let's get out of here, everybody. Everybody, right, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Eat my ass.